Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Today on CityCast Philly. Usually we have a midweek roundup of news stories, but today we're switching things up a bit. We're focusing on Mayor Sherrell Parker's first 100 days in office. Last week, she released her 100-day report, which focused on how she aims to improve public safety in Philly. I'm speaking with local journalists about these plans and what this means for the city. It's Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Trini Nuri, and here's what Philly's talking about. Joining me this week is Anna Orso, City Hall reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hey, Anna.
Hey, Trine. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Jill Bauer-Reese, newsroom director at Kensington Voice, which is a hyperlocal news site covering the Kensington neighborhood. Welcome, Jill.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And Carly Citrin, Philadelphia bureau chief at Chalkbeat Philadelphia, a nonprofit newsroom covering education. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks so much. Excited to be here.
Each of you covers a different aspect of issues addressed in the mayor's 100-day report. But before we get into this 53-page document, let's kind of lay out what actually happened last week. Anna, on Thursday, Mayor Sherrell Parker held an event celebrating her first 100 days in office of her administration. And you reported that, you know, even before her speech, she took the L train and walked around the Kensington neighborhood with some of her staff members. Now, many Philadelphian residents, we know that this is a part of North Philly that has one of the largest open-air drug markets on the East Coast. So, Anna, what was this message that Parker was sending by doing this?
Yeah, I think Sherrell Parker was really trying to show that she had the capability of going to a neighborhood that she has talked so much about. And I think that she wants to show to people that this isn't just a political talking point for her. Whether that bears out or not, I think there's still time. But look, you know, I can't remember the last time a mayor walked 4 or 5 blocks down Kensington Avenue. So, you know, plenty of politicians do it when they're running for office. But this is the first time that, at least since she was mayor, that Parker walked down the avenue, talked to business owners, talked to residents, and then went through to her event at Conwell Middle School, which is sort of in the heart of the neighborhood.
Jill, what was your reaction to her trip in Kensington?
Yeah, so I agree with everything that Anna just said. I'll also note that I think it's like Conwell Middle School has been pretty critical to these conversations. I think it was carefully chosen by, you know, Parker and her administration, also elected officials. And so I think what they've done is they've really tried to like center the perspective of children who are in the neighborhood and what they're seeing and hearing and feeling every day. And I think that, you know, Parker's decision to hold the event there last week was really following the recommendation of the Kensington caucus members who have centered that location for a lot of their events.
And the Kensington caucus members are also members of City Council, correct?
Yes. The Kensington caucus is a group of 4 City Council members. It's like unofficial leader, I would say, is Ketsi Losada, who is the District 7 council person. Also, Mark Squilla, who's with District 1, Mike Driscoll, who's District 6, and Jim Herity, who's an at-large member but a resident in the neighborhood.
So once Mayor Parker and her administration did this walk, everyone then made their way to the Russell Conwell Middle School. Carly, how did you see this kind of next step or where this 100-day celebration was happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think I you know, agree a lot with what Jill just said. I think what was really kind of stood out for me as an education reporter being in that room was, as part of the plan, they shared some kind of eye-opening statistics that, you know, even though gun violence has declined in the city overall, shootings involving young people have been rising since 2015. I think it was Philly police data analyzed by the district that shows every year since 2020, 80% of young shooting victims have been active students. And students are more likely to be shot during weekdays between 2 to 5 p.m. And they're more likely to be shot near their school than they are their homes. And so I think this issue of gun violence and mental health and the future of our city all kind of coalesces in the schools and among the conversations that we're having with young people. So I think having the event in a school just really spoke to, you know, what we want our future of Philly to look like.
Yeah. We'll talk more about young people later in the conversation. But I want to go back to just also kind of like how I saw it. And it was interesting, Carly, because in your article on Chalkbeat, you referenced again how Mayor Parker has said she wants Philadelphia residents to feel and see the folks that are working in her administration. And I feel like that was kind of like the message that she sent doing that walk along the avenue, things like that. She's also talked about and she described her plan to make a safer, cleaner, and greener Philadelphia. Anna, can you just give us some highlights of what she talked about and we'll break some of those areas down?
Sure. I think she sees that her administration has made progress on public safety and this clean and green, which I think, you know, she sees those two areas as really interconnected. And I think there's plenty of evidence that suggests that, too. There's lots of research that shows that when folks' physical space is something they can have pride in, then violent crime tends to drop. So in terms of her public safety report, this was a really anticipated plan. She had come in on her first day and said, look, in my first 100 days, I'm going to have my police commissioner and my managing director work together to come up with a public safety plan. It's going to be finished by 100 days in. And that's going to really lay out how my administration is going to tackle this problem. Now, when you look at it, it's lengthy. And I would say it reads as a police plan. I definitely think the mayor is trying to show that she is the mayor that's going to support her police department. And so that is a very large part of the image that she's trying to project. And I think that's why this public safety plan is in part so heavy on policing. There's a couple pages that are related to strategies outside law enforcement, but this is a traditionally law enforcement heavy police plan.
So she kind of talked about tackling public safety, reducing homicides to historic lows, and then also ending the Kensington drug market.
Yeah, that's correct. Included in the plan are strategies to reduce shootings and homicides by honing in on 10 police districts that make up for 75% of the gun violence. There are plans to reduce retail theft by expanding the police department's focus on nuisance crimes. And they are also expanding the amount of time that they're focusing on illegal ATV riders and car meetups. And so you're really seeing kind of a multi-pronged public safety plan here that focuses not only on the gun violence, but also on what this administration sees as more or less quality of life issues. And then, yes, as you said, there was the Kensington plan, which I think was also the most anticipated part of this very highly anticipated proposal. And so we can get into that in more detail.
They're also going to focus on the use of technology. I saw that several times in the report, too.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think this comes as the department is really trying to scale up its forensics capabilities. The forensics lab is understaffed and under-resourced and has been for a long time. And that can really have an impact on police's ability to solve crimes. There's also an interesting new wrinkle that's police accountability related. The department wants to add sensors to every officer's gun holster and taser holster so that when they pull their gun out of their holster, their body camera automatically goes on. Currently, they can manually turn their body cameras on and off, and there have been several instances that haven't been caught on body cameras because the officer never turned it on. So this is kind of an interesting reform accountability piece of technology that we'll see how long it takes to get them funded and implemented.
Now, with all of this emphasis on police, I know some residents may be thinking, okay, I remember when Philly used to do a lot of the stop and frisk or the Terry stops. So how is the administration addressing that?
So Sherelle Parker said on the campaign trail that she basically was okay with the use of stop and frisk as a police tactic. But she didn't really call for police to use it more. She just kind of said she was okay with it. Stop and frisk is legal, but the amount that police use it has declined dramatically over the last decade, going from like hundreds of thousands of stops a year to fewer than 10,000 stops last year. And so in this plan, it was still kind of vague. Police have not gotten any directive to increase the amount of stops and frisks that they conduct. But it's easy to imagine a scenario where police feel emboldened and empowered to use that tactic more frequently when the mayor and the police commissioner are essentially endorsing it as a tool that they're able to use. But there was nothing definitive in the public safety plan other than saying they might use it.
More on Mayor Parker's first 100 days and her plan for the city after the break. This is CityCast Philly. All right, let's get back into some of the other major themes mentioned in Parker's plan. Kensington, like we said before, is the center of the opioid epidemic in the city, but it's not the only neighborhood experiencing these challenges. But during her address, Parker said she wants to change this narrative.
The status quo that's been able to prevail here in Kensington in particular, the open-air drug markets, the widespread addiction, the deep despair, that it is unacceptable, and change is on the way. Change is on the way.
So what we heard is a lot of what she's, you know, been repeating since she took office. And so people in the neighborhood generally feel like Kensington has been treated like a containment zone, and that a lot of the rules that are, you know, enforced and policies that are enforced outside of the neighborhood for whatever reason are not enforced here.
So in her public safety plan, Parker laid out just how enforcement is going to start happening. She's calling it the Kensington Community Revival, which involves shutting down the open air drug market in the community and move people using opioids off the streets. What did you think of that plan?
So I think, you know, for the plan to have been published and really, you know, focus on the enforcement aspect of it and like kind of like the removal of people using drugs from the neighborhood, as opposed to the provision of services to, you know, meet their needs as well. I mean, I think even the very pro-police residents were waiting for those details.
Anna, when can we expect her plans for Kensington to roll out?
So that's a more complicated question than you would think. The city has sent out notices that they're going to conduct what's called an encampment resolution, which is basically a sweep of an encampment or sort of a tent city. And that is scheduled to take place on May 8th. The city has conducted encampment sweeps before. They happened under former Mayor Jim Kenney's administration. Essentially, the city comes in, tells everybody they need to pack up, get their things off the sidewalk. People disperse, and then they throw everything that's left over on the sidewalk in the garbage. The city says that this is not their long-term plan, and that this is not necessarily, you know, the multi-day initiative of arrests that they laid out in their Kensington plan. Their Kensington plan says that they will have a period where they're warning people. They haven't said how long that period will last. And then they'll go in over several days, and anybody who's left over, if they have drugs on their person, paraphernalia, or if they're taking part in sex work, they're going to be arrested. The city hasn't been clear as to whether or not the May 8th encampment resolution is that same multi-day initiative. I've literally gotten different answers from different people at the administration.
Interesting. Jill, what are your thoughts?
I think when we like step back and try to paint the picture pretty frequently for the city, I think there's like a loss of nuance in like resident perspectives. And so while sometimes we look at it as like residents versus harm reduction advocates, a lot of these residents, like, they want people to get help, right? Like, And I think that gets lost a lot of the time because we're all on a deadline, right? And like trying to crank it out. And so like, I think everyone who's a stakeholder in this was waiting for those details because, you know, at the very beginning of the year, you have the Kensington caucus coming out and saying, you know, our solution to this is creating something called a, quote, triage center. And Mike Driscoll very firmly describing that as treatment or jail. And so people, I mean, everyone has questions about, you know, what does the treatment aspect of this look like? Like, where does diversion play a role in this? Like, this is not, these are people, right, that we're talking about. We're not just picking up trash. Like, they're humans that have very complicated needs, and many of them have really deep trauma histories. And so it's this really complex kind of mess of trauma where you have like everybody who is a stakeholder, who is a resident, who has worked in Kensington, who has lived housed or unhoused in Kensington, has experienced some really complicated trauma, right? That's been compounded over generations and historically by the city.
Carly, I want to get you into the conversation. Mayor Parker has talked a lot about safety at schools for our youngest Philadelphians. I looked at some of the maps and data points in Parker's report, and it was really interesting to learn which zip codes children live in and which zip codes children also experience a lot of crime and violence. Did we learn anything new from the analysis in this report?
I think what I found really eye-opening was just this analysis of the fact that a lot of students are involved in shootings on kind of all sides, right? Like, they're the victims, they're the perpetrators, they are also, you know, hanging out with friends while stuff goes down. And so I think what was kind of the most surprising for me was just the fact that incidents are happening during the week, during school hours, 2 to 5 p.m. in these zip codes in North and West Philly, mostly, that students are more likely to be shot near their school than their home. And that it's not like shootings are happening in the dark of night between young people. It's happening close to schools. And that's something that has an impact not just on the students or young people who are involved in the trauma and in the violence directly, but also everyone around them, right? And so when we think about these issues, we have to think about them in a complex and nuanced way and not just isolated incidents that can be, you know, solved by putting 2 to 3 more police officers in the front of one school and saying, we did it, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's kind of the conversation that's happening right now.
And what is Parker's plan for making kids safer?
Yeah, and I want to bring back in what Anna said here, because I thought that was so really explanatory of the fact that this is a policing plan, right? This is what she's calling it, is an enhanced school safety plan, but this is a policing plan. And so what's in the plan is hire more police. Is place more police in and around schools, in these corridors where students are traveling. It's make police more visible, maybe give them a different name. They're specialized units. They're shadowing other police. But what it means in practice is more, you know, uniformed or ununiformed police in and around schools. And now I think what's important to note here is Kevin Bethel, the police commissioner, was formerly the school district's chief of school safety, right? So he's coming to this role with a history of thinking about school safety and thinking about, you know, that balance between we all want safe schools, but there is a balance between, you know, quote unquote, target hardening or making schools into fortresses or putting all this implementation and stuff in there that makes schools to some people feel like jails or like fortresses and other things that are going on that are part of this larger mosaic that school safety is not just about more police. And maybe for some people that visibility can instill some hope, but also things like hiring more crossing guards or expanding things like the Safe Path program or doing things that are not directly hiring police. I think there are a lot of residents who are looking for the city to do a lot of that. And that's what Bethel had been proposing at the district before he moved to City Hall.
They also talk about year-round school and also monitoring social media differently and more frequently.
Look, I am asking every day, what is this year-round school? And when are we going to see it? I mean, we've heard from the district, it's going to be piloted starting next fall in a couple schools. We've heard repeatedly from Mayor Parker's office that they are all in on year-round schools. I have yet to see a plan of what year-round school really will look like. It's sounding to me, if I'm reading between the lines, it's sounding to me like this summer, we're going to see more kind of beefed up out of school summer programs like the new Summer Achievers program. We might see some more pools open. We might see some more camp like programming. Does that count as year round school? Maybe that's more of a branding question than an absolute policy question. I think that point about monitoring social media was also really interesting to me. We are seeing a lot of disagreements kind of bloom or flourish into full-on beefs on Instagram and in different online spaces. And then that kind of bleeds over into the real world. And, you know, some comments sent back and forth over a certain amount of time can very easily turn into pulling a gun on someone. And so I'm interested to see how the police department will be monitoring young people's social media. I think there is a big question mark there for how do you do that responsibly and efficiently and effectively? And it's safe to say a lot of the police department are older than Gen Z. And so their knowledge and fluidity and fluency with social media is a little bit a question in my head, but maybe that's taking it too far.
I think they'll get some support from other young people to understand the lingo and what's going on. And I know that you all are continuing to report on all these issues. And it's a lot that maybe we can come back and talk about the next 100 days. That was Carly Citrin, Philadelphia Bureau Chief at Chalkbeat Philadelphia, Jill Bauer-Reese, Newsroom Director at Kensington Voice, and Anna Orso, City Hall Reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thank you all so much for joining me on CityCast Philly.
Thank you.
Glad to be here today. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Check out the reporting from our guest and more on the Mayor's 100-Day Report by clicking the links in our show notes. That's all for today here on CityCast Philly. Let us know what you think of this episode. Rate the show, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button. Be sure to sign up for our morning newsletter, Hey Philly, to learn more about what else Philly's talking about. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.